Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter, which you just heard read earlier. So we start with a question this morning. How is your prayer life? Do you regularly call upon the name of the Lord in every trouble, praise, and give thanks to the Lord in the name of Jesus? Or do you only pray when you hit rock bottom and feel like there is no other hope? Or worse yet, maybe you don't even pray at all. Now I confess I'm guilty. I don't always pray as I ought to. Please forgive me. God, be merciful to me, a poor, miserable sinner, and by the grace of God, I will do better. But praying is the work of Christians. Praying should be a priority. God commands that believers pray. Jesus never says, if you pray. He says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Don't go out in public and make a big, huge production of your prayer as you heap up lots of empty words and phrases. No, when you pray, go into your room and close your door. And pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus, because God already knows what it is that you need and what you will ask for. He will hear you, and he will answer your prayers. Our triune God bids you to pray. The Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to record in Holy Scripture, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Jesus told his disciples the parable of the persistent woman, the persistent widow, in order that his disciples would pray at all times and not lose heart. Jesus says to pray for your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, pray for those who abuse you. In this morning's text, Jesus says, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. This word ask is an imperative. It's Jesus' command, but it's also his precious gift to you, the gift of prayer. He commands us to pray to God the Father in his name. And he says that when you pray and you ask of the Father in the name of Jesus, you will not only receive what you have prayed for, but your joy will be full. There's a whole lot to unpack in these two short verses here. So we begin at the beginning of the text when Jesus says, in that day. Which day is that? Well, our text is a continuation of last week. Jesus is teaching his disciples in the upper room. He'll be arrested in just a few hours and crucified the next day. And he has so much to teach them, but they cannot bear any more. If you remember in our text last week, Jesus told them, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So the next day, Jesus is crucified. 3 days later, he is raised from the grave. 40 days later, he ascends into heaven. 10 days after that is the day of Pentecost, when the disciples receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The one that Jesus just told them will lead them in truth. They will open their hearts and minds to understand the Scriptures and to guide them in the way of his truth. So in that day, that day and all those days following, including this day and tomorrow and all the days up until the last day, Jesus' disciples of all times and of all places, you and me, are commanded to pray to God, pray to the Father, and whatever you ask of the Father in Jesus' name, he will give it to you. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So Jesus begins this phrase out with his doubly strong word of assurance and promise. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." In the original language, "truly, truly" is transliterated from the Hebrew word amen. As you learned in the small catechism, amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. So when Jesus says truly, truly, or amen, amen, he's giving you his word of promise and assurance that his statement is reliable and true. He says, ask and you will receive. And every time we talk about this verse, a couple points always seem to be brought up. The first point is someone says, well, gee, if God already knows what I'm going to pray for before I pray, why should I bother praying? It isn't like I'm going to change God's mind, is it? Well, the answer to that is Jesus commands us to pray. And he not only commands us to pray, as we talked about downstairs earlier, he prays himself. During his earthly ministry, he humbled himself, leaving heaven, taking on the flesh of man, and he didn't always use his divine power. But he still never ceased to be God. He still knew the past, the present, and the future. But he still often communicates with the Father in prayer. In next week's gospel, you will hear Jesus pray for you and your salvation in his high priestly prayer as he communicates with the Father. And before his betrayal, he prayed that the Father would remove this cup. But it was not the Father's will. So Jesus obeyed the Father's will. So if we think about it, Jesus prayed often, very often on earth. God prays to the Father. Shouldn't you and I? Well, unless we think that we are better than Jesus. The second point that comes up is someone will say, well, you know, Pastor, the way Jesus describes prayer here, it sounds like he's some big mail order house, like eBay or Amazon. All I got to do is just order my prayer, put it in the words of prayer, and it'll miraculously appear. So all I got to do is just pray. It's like unlimited wishes from rubbing a genie's lantern. Well, you've heard me say before, when I was young, I prayed for a bicycle, and it never came because I was looking at Jesus as the giant vending machine in the sky. And that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Because when you pray to God like he's some giant vending machine, that all you got to do is insert your prayer here and all of his goods and gifts will come out down there, your every wish and desire. Well, your worldly flesh, sinful flesh, has taken over. So when you pray in this way, for all your own wishes and desires of your flesh, you probably should be praying in your own name, because that is the most important God that you are concerned about. Think about how Jesus taught his disciples to pray and taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus didn't pray exclusively to some other Father out there. No, he says, pray this way, our Father. He teaches us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you approach the Father to pray, you come to him as a little child. just asking him as if you were asking your earthly father on earth. So what do you pray for in the Lord's Prayer? Well, first, we pray that God's name would be hallowed. It would be kept holy among us. Next, we pray that his kingdom would come to us, that by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we would be led in godly and holy lives. And thirdly, we pray that his will be done among us on earth. That is, that the schemes of the devil would be broken, that we would be strengthened to live in the true faith. So the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, there's three main points, the primary factors: that God's name be hallowed, further his kingdom, and be within God's divine will. These first three petitions are always to be honored first. And then we get on to the other four petitions, dealing with the things that concerning our daily bread: forgiveness of sins, deliverance from temptation and evil. But we always give the preference to God, his name, his kingdom, his will, then the things that we believe we need. And indeed, it is the Father's will to provide you with your daily bread and all your necessities of life. It is his will to forgive you all your sins and for you to forgive others. Why else would he send his only son to the cross to die for the forgiveness of sins? It is his will to provide you a way of escape when in temptation. It is his will to defend you against all danger, guard and protect you from all evil. And if all these things were not the case, Jesus would not have commanded you to pray in this way. So when you think your prayer is going unanswered, it's probably because our finite minds cannot understand how God's all-knowing omniscience and how he works things out for the good of the believer and to his glory. We can't even fathom what it is that hallows God's name and what furthers his kingdom, and we can't grasp his holy and hidden will. We can't comprehend these things because we can't even understand exactly how he delivers our everyday necessities of life, delivering us from sin, temptation, and the evil of the world. But even though we cannot understand the ways of God, Jesus promises you that whatever you ask in the name and his name, ask of the Father in his name, the Father will give it to you. And he bids you to pray without hesitation, without doubting, praying with confidence. Even if you think your prayer is not answered how you think it should be, God is answering your prayer. He wants to give you something far better than you can imagine. He desires that you learn his will and become obedient to him and increase in faith. And before you think God is a selfish God who always has to have his own way first, well, remember, he's God. He's the creator. He didn't have to create all things, visible and invisible. And then he didn't have to bring you and me into the world and give us our body and soul and the rest of our first article gifts. He's also your Savior. He didn't have to humiliate himself by leaving the glory of heaven and becoming man and paying the sacrifice for all of our sins on Calvary's cross with his innocent suffering and his holy precious blood. He's also our sanctifier. He didn't have to call us by the gospel, enlighten us with his gifts, sanctify us, and keep us in the true faith. But he did all of these things out of love for you. Love for you from before the foundation of the world. And if our triune God does all of these things, well, he will certainly honor his promise to hear your prayer in the name of Jesus and answer so that your joy may be full, all for the sake of Jesus. Only a faithful Christian can pray. To pray in the name of Jesus is different than worldly prayers. Anyone can tack on the name of Jesus to an end of a prayer or sprinkle a little of Jesus throughout the prayer. Anyone can, and anyone often does. But only a faithful Christian can truly pray in the name of Jesus. That is to pray trusting in the name of the one who conquered sin, death, and the devil by dying and rising again. And he is the one who commands you to pray. Prayer is his gift to you. It was through his death on the cross, paying the price of your sins, that you were reconciled with the Father. He's given you all these good gifts. Why would he not give you more? God answers your prayers for the sake of Jesus' suffering and death. And he answers your prayers because of his great love for you. So even when it doesn't seem like your prayers are being answered, you can pray with confidence that your sin no longer stands in the way between God and you. You can pray with confidence in times of happiness, confidence in times of trouble, and especially pray with confidence in those times when you feel as if God has abandoned you, or that he is ignoring you and not answering your prayers. Because the flesh is weak, and so is human emotions. God promises you that he is there and he is listening and he is answering your prayers. It's just that it is furthering his will and his kingdom. God promises that he's listening. He's there loving you because you trust in him, and because you believe in his son Jesus, you are his child. Fathers do not ignore their child's pleas. And there is peace between God and you. In this world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. And for his sake, God hears your prayers and answers so that your joy may be full. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.